You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. You might know Vince Guaraldi's music from the early Peanuts TV specials. In fact, I'm going to bet you do. But his imprint on the West Coast jazz scene was so much more than Snoopy and the Gang ever could have revealed. And fortunately, writer Derek Bang has released a new book titled Vince Guaraldi at the Piano. And through it, we get perspective and stories and pictures about the man, about the musician. So, Derek, welcome to Insight.
Beth, thank you. It's gracious of you to devote some time to a little old jazz piano player.
Sometime when I look at this book, I think, how did you become so fascinated that you were so thorough and practically did what you would call an exhaustive recounting of Vince Guaraldi's musical tracings, his life, conversations? What hooked you in the beginning?
We all have those moments in our lives when things change, and sometimes they happen when we're very young. And I still, to this day, remember being parked in front of the TV set on December 9th, 1965, when a Charlie Brown Christmas came on. I was there, like most of the United States, because Peanuts was coming to TV, of course. What I wasn't expecting was the music. The music just grabbed me. And
as a seven-year-old?
As a 10-year-old.
10-year-old.
As a 10-year-old. And my father told me years later, he was so pleased because even at the age of 10, I was rebelling against the fact that his favorite form of music was jazz. And of course, this was the middle 60s and the advent of rock and roll. And I didn't want to have anything to do with jazz. And he very wisely made a point of never using the J word when Vince Guaraldi came up.
The J word, yeah.
And from that point forward, it just became an obsession.
Well, just to wake everybody's soul up a little bit, I think we'll take a little listen to some of it. This is Linus and Lucy from Vince Guaraldi. Vince Guaraldi, born in San Francisco, and really hit the music scene in the 50s and 60s. Who was he bigger than the Peanuts?
Beyond that, he worked in the 50s for a great many years as a sideman with many of Cal Tjader's combos, initially as a trio, later as a quintet. He toured with Woody Herman twice, which is no small accomplishment. It indicates that Woody Herman really liked him because quite a few people can lay claim to having toured with a big band at least once, but when you're called back for a second mission, so to speak, indicating that what you've been doing has been greatly appreciated. And during this time, people who were paying attention to Guaraldi as a member of these larger units would notice that when it came time for the instrumental soloist, you know, the keyboardist gets his 30 seconds to shine during the course of this extended take, Guaraldi demonstrated this facility for instrumental improvs that became mini compositions in and of themselves. You could walk away humming his solos, which is not something you normally expect.
I saw a review where the quote was, "Vince was extolled for his top pianistics."
Don't you love the language?
I That's great.
Every field seems to have its wonderful jargon, and I love the way jazz gets discussed in print because, of course, it's almost impossible to put words to the marvelous free-flowing spirit that emanates from a really slick jazz improv.
So there's the Santa Rosa, Northern California connection, of course, to the Peanuts, and he was playing in San Francisco, but I want to hear about a Sacramento element to the story that has to do with a different song called Cast Your Fate to the Wind.
Sure. He'd been working, kind of noodling his way on this melody that really grabbed him since about 1958. And he finally nailed it down on paper in 1962. And he called it Cast Your Fate to the Wind. And he was desperate to get this song out. But unfortunately, at that point in time, he didn't have a record contract. About this same time, the film Black Orpheus was playing across the country, having become a real big hit, both because of the way it looked and most particularly because of the luxuriously sensuous samba-hued music, the bossa nova, that anticipated the craze that would sweep the country in the next couple of years. So Guaraldi put an album together of his interpretations of several of these Black Orpheus themes, and there was room on the album for several more tracks, one of them being Cast Your Fate to the Wind. Fantasy cut him a one record deal, which is somewhat insulting. They were willing to take a chance on the one album, and they released it in April of 1962, just about half a century ago. And nothing happened for several months. And then a DJ at Sacramento's KROY, 1240 AM, Croy, yep, Tony Big, got the 45, which had Samba de Orpheus on the A side, because Fantasy Records believed that that was the track that had the greatest potential. And he played it, and he liked it. And then he flipped it over, and he remembered being struck by the name Cast Your Fate to the Wind. It just kind of spoke to him. And he played that as he was test listening. And then he played it again. And then he's been captured on footage saying that he played that single many times that first afternoon. And he never did that because it captivated him so much.
Let's take a listen. Your Fate to the Wind, which was the hit single then in 1963, and it received a Grammy Award?
Right. After the initial exposure that was granted by Croy here in Sacramento, the song just continued to build. It came to the attention of song trackers who performed services at that point in time in the 1960s and would tell their client stations what to play, what was expected to be hot, what should be hot, what became hot. And as 1962 ended and 63 began, the song climbed up the pop charts and, yes, wound up winning a Grammy Award for Best Instrumental Jazz Composition, which was an unusual phase in the history of the Grammys because only for 7 years did the composer of a jazz instrumental song receive a Grammy in a category. The category was retired only a few years after Guaraldi won that award.
We're talking with Derek Bang, who has written a book called Vince Guaraldi at the Piano. He will do a book signing at the Avid Reader in Sacramento on Friday night, May 11th at 7:30. The book is filled with all kinds of stories. There's an interesting and unexpected story about Vince Guaraldi and the Beatles.
Yes, that's true. In 1969, Guaraldi was one of several musicians involved with the first big screen Peanuts film, A Boy Named Charlie Brown. Rod McEwen wrote the vocal songs for that film. And the picture wound up picking up an Academy Award nomination for Best Song Score. Well, ordinarily, people would find this cause for rejoicing. But when Lee Mendelson, who directed and produced the film, was called by the Academy, he remembers being told, well, we have good news for you and we have bad news for you. The good news is that your film has been nominated for an Oscar. The bad news is that you're up against the Beatles, who had been nominated for Let It Be. And Mendelsohn recalls that when the entire gang assembled down in Hollywood for a pre-Academy Award luncheon, they happened to be seated at the same table as Paul and Linda McCartney. And of course, Mendelsohn and the crew only wanted to talk about the Beatles, and they were stunned to discover that McCartney only wanted to talk about Vince Guaraldi's music for the Peanuts shows.
In fact, in your book, when you retell the story, you say that Mendelsohn says, we were totally relaxed. We knew the Beatles would win, and they did. But what are you going to do? He said the Beatles had never been nominated before, and I didn't mind losing to them at all.
Well, right. If you're going to come in second, you can't object to coming
Beatles.
In second to the Beatles.
Well, I do want to ask you, just from the perspective of having studied Vince Guaraldi, that words like pianist or jazz pianist or musical stylist don't seem at all to be enough. And in fact, in the foreword by Charles Gompertz, he says the same thing. How do you just describe this person to someone else? So what words would you use, Derek?
When I hear Guaraldi's music, I think happy. I cannot possibly listen to anything that he's ever done without smiling. It's cheerful, it's effervescent, it's bubbly, it's contagious, it's infectious. Guaraldi had a remarkable facility for composing original compositions which, even as you're hearing them for the first time, make you think they're familiar somehow. which means that he's reaching deep inside our souls and touching us somehow in a way that evokes nostalgia, memories, happiness. He has been called the world's most famous jazz musician whose name nobody knows and probably couldn't pronounce, even if they did know it. His music has toured around the world. Lee Mendelssohn, again, the director-producer of the Peanuts shows, has been all over the world, and he can't go anywhere without hearing Linus and Lucy or Cast Your Fate to the Wind. And people recognize this music without necessarily associating it with Garaldi, which, of course, is the tragedy that I have attempted to address with the publication of this book.
The book is Vince Garaldi at the Piano. If you love stories, love music, and love history of California, it's all there. Thank you very much, Derek Bang. And again, at the Avid Reader in Davis on Friday night at 7:30, Derek will be signing books, and we'll have a link on our website at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our senior producer is Jen Picard. Insight's assistant producers are James Morrison and Lynn Weaver. Today's associate producers are Sarah Jung and Vincent Trin. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer today is Nick Bruner. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thank you for joining us.